It's been amazing what he's doing. And we're seeing, as mentioned earlier, literally as we are praying, we're seeing God do stuff right in front of our eyes. So what testimonies has God given you this week?
I keep praying for my family and my daughter, who doesn't really come very often anymore. Now they've got her working on Sundays, and she goes to work at 11. Well, last night she texted me to find out what time church was, because she couldn't remember. And when I told her it was 11, she said, oh, I thought it was 10. So I'm going to have to rechange my schedule so I can come to church next week. So I'm going to give God the glory.
Amen.
For that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anne-Marie?
I'll do it.
All right.
I just want to give God praise because he is so wonderful. We've all been praying for my family, my granddaughter, and my son and daughter-in-law, because she needed a job. And I thank God she did get a job, because her finances affect my finances. And my granddaughter is doing such a marvelous job in her job as a mom and is a granddaughter and daughter. And I just want to praise God that he's working in her life.
Amen. 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 It's on.
The other night, my daughter called me Wednesday night, and I have a 13-year-old grandson who is being severely bullied in the public school. And so she was very distraught. She was visiting a school that is also run by the state that she could transfer him to, but he would need a special test. And they visited the school Thursday, her and her husband, and they liked the school. Come to find out that this test was going to cost $2,000. And so she was like, you know, they didn't have the money. So before she even got home from talking to the person she talked to regarding the test, you know, who would do the test, her boss texted her and said he was paying for the test.
Amen.
And she works for a wonderful boss. That's all I can say.
Wow. Amen.
And God, and the thing that really showed, because when she was so distraught that night, we prayed, and this is what we prayed. We prayed God would go before them, God would guide them, God would supply everything they need, and that God would, because God loves my grandson Frankie, and he would take care of the whole thing. And it was just like that.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
Is good.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
That's no, I want to switch it last one second.
Well, you guys know when you fast, you get spiritually smarter. So my sister had texted me that my niece Mia was going to the hospital because she was having asthma problems. And when I prayed for her, I didn't get Lord healer asthma. I got bind that spirit of fear. And so I was like, okay, so my sister, sometimes she doesn't want to hear all that I have to say about the spiritual realm, so she didn't say anything when I text her, you know, bind the spirit of fear and the spirit of asthma coming against her. But yesterday, and that was a week and a half ago, but yesterday when I talked to her, I said, you know, I really feel like Mia's struggling from a spirit of fear. And she said, Tiff, that's so weird. And I was like, why? She said, because even when she's home with her daddy, she goes, oh, I'm scared. I feel like somebody's going to come in and rob us. And so I said, that's what it is. That's the spirit that's letting in that asthma. And so when I told her the scriptures that I told you guys today, you know, because it's always what we're going through as well. And I told her, you know, let Mia crush Satan under her feet. Let her stomp. And, you know, sometimes my sister's not always open, but she said, Mia will love that. And I was like, yes, Lord. So just all glory to God that my sister is eating the things of God. So,
amen. Amen. Anyone else before Sharon?
We just have to give God the glory, because remember last week when I kind of interrupted Pastor Mike and I said, does anybody have anything in their right thigh? Okay, so we're going to give glory to God because Lisa thought it was for her husband, Gus, and Gus was feeling really good, and we're going to claim that glory. And Brian also was in a lot of pain, and by God's grace, they both started to feel better. So we're going to take that victory, and we're going to say thank you, Lord, and more.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? You can if you want to.
Oh, you all know my son Ron because he comes here a lot, and this is his son, and this is his family right here. Anyway, I just want to tell you that he is being healed because he goes to prayer, and you guys all see the healing right in front of you. And one night I was there, so I saw it too. I was so sad I couldn't go Friday night to see more. So he's getting healed, and more is coming. I just wanted to let you know that. Keep praying. Thank you.
Amen. There you go.
Okay, well, I want to give thanks to God and to you guys for teaching me that when I'm getting attacked, that I'm actually getting attacked. So I have to say, like, you know, thank gosh that we didn't have any, you know, my car wasn't hit again and da-da-da. But we definitely were blessed this week that Maureen came over and she babysat Abby when Tommy and I, like, you know, the only day that I had to be at work early and she didn't head off and Tommy had to be work early, Maureen came in and she spent time with my baby. And so I want to thank you for that and thank God for that, that it just worked out so well. And also that I know that the enemy has been attacking me. I've been sick for 3.5 weeks, but because of God, it has not held me back from teaching, and it has not held me back from affecting other people positively. And I'm starting to maybe get through to my mom, you know, so that she can feel more comfortable about talking about God and talking about Jesus, and not being in that generational place where you don't talk about God, because if you're Protestant, someone's going to say that you should be Catholic, and if you're Catholic, someone's going to say that you should be Protestant, and that whole religious racist thing that goes on. So I just wanted to thank God and just to ask the congregation, actually, if you could pray for my mom, because with the snow, I'm praying that she doesn't lose power because she's on oxygen, and she really needs to be lifted up. And, like, you know, people say that you pray for people and they don't realize you're being prayed for, but they realize that things are better and they feel better. And she's definitely under the, you know, there's definitely a spirit of depression and fear through her and through my brother. So I just wanted to ask the congregation if you could pray for her and that she would feel your prayers even though she didn't understand them.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Well, let's take a quick moment and just pray for her brother and mom. And also, let's keep in prayer. Roberta came home from the hospital last night, doing very well. Nicole came through her surgery. She also came home last night, but she's in a lot of discomfort. So let's just take a moment and lift these. And I'm sure there's other things and other people. But Lord, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We come against the spirit of fear and anxiety in Jesus' name. We bind that strong man in Jesus' name. And Lord, we release your healing. We release your blessing. We release your peace upon Sharon's mom and brother, Lord God. We release the fullness of your healing upon Nicole and upon Roberta, Father God, that they are both healed by your stripes, O God. So your healing hand is reached down. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, God, our healer. So we declare your name over them all. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I debated whether to share this testimony with you or not, but I feel like God wants me to. And I share this because I never want to come across as prideful, arrogant, anything of that nature, especially when the way the Holy Spirit and the Word of God talks about fasting. But I share, there's a reason why I feel like God wants me to share this. Last week, some of you know this, we were in prayer the other night, when I was giving you the testimony how it was getting easier to fast. Most of you don't know that what God called me to fast this week was all solid food, or this month. So New Year's Eve was the last time I had solid food. So I've been just fasting liquids, coffee, juices, that kind of thing. And God has made it easier. And then last week when I shared with you that, and a couple of people said, no, it's not, and I kind of looked at them funny, I said, yes, it is. That stuck with me, and I kept praying to the Lord that night and Monday night. Why? Why is it getting easier? It's by His grace. What is going on? And the Lord said to me, You've gone deep. Now I want you to go deeper. You've done something you've never done before. Now take it to the next step for the further breakthroughs that are going to come. So he called me then to go nothing but clear liquid, just water, till about 4 o'clock, from morning to 4 o'clock. If that may not sound like much to you, I get up at 4:30 in the morning. Yeah. So from 4:30 to 4, and actually from when I go to bed at night till 4 o'clock, just clear liquids, and then I go back to regular liquids, other juices and things like that. And the first day was so hard. And spiritually, I was attacked, and my wife will even tell you, I was even out of it. I was in a weird zone. But every day that passed, the Lord started to break through, because I was doubting his ability in me to do that. But when I was able to break through in his strength, all of a sudden, my confidence grew in him. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I didn't have the peace and the faith that I needed to have that he can do this in me. I was doubting him. So the Lord showed me he can do this through me. So since then, we've been doing it, and things are breaking free to the point where people at work, Friday at work, turned into almost like a church ministry day for me, for the most part. And I work in a secular place. Entire counseling session that turned into a biblical counseling session. A whole group that dealt with forgiveness. You know, it just things like that were happening all day long. You know, so God is working. So it's not too late, if you haven't started yet, to do this. We have one more week left as a body. It's not too late to start. Breakthroughs are still coming. We don't hold anything against anybody, and neither does God, if you haven't started yet. And however God leads you, a meal, a day, you know, whatever it might be, whatever it is, do it. And those who've been, I want to encourage you this next week, ask the Lord how he wants you to go a little deeper. It's by his strength we are sustained. His bread, his word is the bread to our soul. And that's what keeps us going. So I praise God for that, you know, and because he still believing in major things to take place within the next week. Major things in his name for his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. So now, would you raise your Bibles? Let's give God glory for his word that is bread to our souls. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. So we started a series 2 weeks ago on the kingdom of God. And we spent the first two weeks talking about specifically what it means when the Word of God says the kingdom of God is at hand. We talked about, to understand the kingdom, understand 3 points, that God is the one who rules this kingdom. It's God. He's the king of this kingdom. Number 2 is that his kingdom will be based on his personality and his character. The kingdom will take the image of the king. And number 3 is, it is a kingdom. It is a realm. And within that, we talked for 2 weeks about seeking his kingdom, finding his kingdom, and then last week, entering his kingdom and what that means. Today, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God is within you. So we sought it, found it, entered it. What does it mean that the kingdom of God is within me? Within me. Now I have his kingdom within me. Luke 17:20-21 says this. Now, when he was asked, Jesus, by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. We're going to talk about 2 points today. We may not get to the second point, but there's two points to this. It's my heart that's involved here and God's heart that's involved here. To know and understand that the kingdom of God is within me, we need to recognize that it's a matter of heart. It's a matter of the heart. To understand the kingdom of God living within us is to understand that the kingdom of God is within the hearts of men. The mystery of the kingdom is learning that Christ is living within us. That's the mystery. That we have the presence of Christ, the Spirit of Christ living within us, which is known as the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of us realize that our bodies were created to house His Spirit. That's what we were meant to do. We were created to be in relationship, in communion, in interaction with Him. And our bodies were created to be worshipers of Him. His presence lives. I can't worship Him without His presence. We're created to house Him. And the closer we come to Him, the more we will understand what it means to have Him inside of us. His kingdom grows within us before it manifests through us. What that means in plain English is, as He is growing inside of us, as our relationship with Him goes deeper, as He is given more freedom within our hearts and within our souls, within our minds, as we start to think with the heart of God and the mind of Christ, to have those things within us, they begin to flow out of us. Nothing happens on the outside before something happening on the inside. It takes place inside here. So as I've sought it, found it, entered the kingdom, now it's right there within me. And as I understand it, as He is growing in me, I'm beginning to grow in His image. That glory to glory thing. Going glory for to glory. The more I grow, the more I know. The more I'm able to use what I know. The more I'm able to be what I need to be because of what I am learning. We are growing in this kingdom. The coronation of Christ the King would not be witnessed by millions on earth. Instead, the kingdom is seated in the hearts of men. That's what He says in Luke 17, 20 to 21. They're asking, when will we see Your kingdom? He's saying, you're not going to say, here it is or there it is, because it's within you. It's me taking that crown while Jesus is sitting on the throne of my heart and placing it on top of His head, saying, Lord, I coronate You King of my life. I place this mantle of lordship over me and my life. I give You full reign, full authority, full power and freedom to have Your word, Your ways, Your spirit, Your presence engulf everything that I am. And that's been one of the most awesome times for me personally during this last month of fasting, is that I'm learning how to do that more, and I'm recognizing areas in my life where I'm still my own king. And I got to get off that throne and put the rightful king on there. So I'm thanking Him for those things. Coronation is within our hearts. Colossians 1, 27 to 28 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the kingdom of God is within you. Christ in you, the hope of the glory. Think for a second. When your kingdom is rich, when you're living in a kingdom that is rich, that is ruled justly and rightly, when you feel safe, When you have food to eat, a roof over your head, when you feel like someone cares enough about you to hear you, you have a lot of hope for the future, don't you? Yesterday, next door, listening to the speeches that took place about the food pantry from the head of the food bank of Monmouth and Ocean County and some of the political people that came. They were talking about how beneficial this food pantry and other food pantries are. And as they rattled off things that are being done, which is great, but the people they were referring to, in my heart, I felt sad because these people do not feel secure in this kingdom of the United States government because it's not meeting them where they are. They're trying. I'm not saying things aren't being tried, but there's a lot of people I come across to on a day-to-day basis who've lost that hope because they don't feel that security. To them, God will to make known the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles to everyone. It's for everybody, which is Christ in you. Christ in me gives me that hope, which is the hope of glory and the future things. His kingdom in me gives me his peace. Romans 14, 16 through 8 says this. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the what? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's about his righteousness. In his righteousness, I have the peace that comes from the security of knowing who my king is in my land, who's guarding my land, who's ruling my land, which is me and around me. And the joy that I have, which the Bible says is the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy that I have that keeps me hopeful, that keeps me going, that keeps me positive no matter what the circumstance. And the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit in me. The presence of God is in me. He's keeping me going. My reliance is on him. My knowledge and wisdom comes through him and in him. My fellowship with the believers is in him. That's fellowship. Rick Warren, the pastor in California most of us are aware of, by name at least, you know, he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church before that, and one of the things he categorizes churches, and different types of churches. And one of them is a fellowship church or a social church, where their idea of or concept of a church is primarily, let's get together and just hang out, have coffee. Not that there is anything wrong with that alone, but where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the presence of God? If we are not sharpening each other with the Word of God and encouraging, if prayer and praise is not free to break out at any given moment, hey, I run across Sharon here on the street. We're talking. You know what? God's saying, let's pray. Let's pray right now. That's fellowship in the Holy Spirit. You know, the presence of God is with us. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within us. And if the kingdom of God within us, he's got freedom to move. He says, stomp your feet. I'm going to stomp my feet. We allow him the freedom to be God and king in his kingdom that's within us. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. I can't work my way into it. I can't think it through. I can't rationalize that I'm okay. You either have the Holy Spirit in you, the presence of God in you, the kingdom of God in you, God is king of his kingdom in you, or you don't. If I'm still king of my own kingdom, I'm still in the flesh and in the blood, and not the blood of Jesus, my blood. I'm in my human form. I'm still ruling me. I'm still God of me. Excuse me. Holy Spirit has to be present. He has to bring forth that what God has already established in heaven out of me and draw it from within me. Flesh and blood cannot. And I want to show you how this works. See, evil and corruption begins in the mind. He talks about evil and corruption here. Can't get good from evil, and you can't get incorruption from corruption. Okay. Corruption is defilement. It's taking something that was working good and doing well and pure in its essence and adding something to it to corrupt it. Doing something to it to make it impure, to make it not good, to hurt its value, its purity. Evil and corruption begin in the mind. It begins in our mind. I'm going to show you something here. And what I mean by that is a thought or an idea. And move to the heart where plans are made. Begins in the mind, but then it moves to the heart where the plan is conceived. What do I mean by that? I have a thought. I think I don't like this person. I see them, the thought says something to me negative. If I don't take that thought captive, rebuke that thought and let it dwell within my mind, it's going to move to the heart where now the heart is planning something. The heart will be rude. The heart will ignore. The heart will mistreat. The heart, even if the heart does nothing negative by not doing something godly, it's ungodly. Doing nothing at all that honors the kingdom doing nothing at all in a way to just avoid and not care dishonors the kingdom. When we're called to love our enemy, turn the other cheek, all those things that the Word of God tells us to do. So there is a crime in a way of omission here. Even by doing nothing does not leave me innocent when God is calling me to do something. See, the kingdom of God is also proactive. It never rests, and it's not passive. I don't say, I've got it right, God, we'll stop here. We'll stop here. The kingdom of God within me means I am constantly learning. I'm constantly evolving in Him, in my knowledge, in my wisdom, in my understanding, in His presence in me. I was just sharing with somebody 2 days ago. I've been a Christian all my life. I mean, to be honest with you, I have been walking in churches since the day I was born. My father's a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. All my life, I finally got it and accepted Christ officially as my Savior at 16. But I didn't start truly growing in the Spirit till about 15 years ago. And every few years, God has taken me deeper and deeper and deeper. I didn't start moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit fully with words of knowledge and wisdom and tongues, praying in the Spirit, those kind of things, till a couple of years ago. And now I'm starting to have visions more often. And that started about 6 to 8 months ago from God. I'm still evolving. I could never get to that place where I say, all right, let's stop and be passive. I've got to keep growing. The kingdom of God is moving. It's flowing. It's within me, therefore I've got to keep moving and growing and flow. And my mind has to follow along with it. Remember what your soul is. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind puts the thought. Your will is what drives the thought from the heart. and puts it into action, and your emotions is what motivates you to do it. So here begins with the mind. And let me show you for Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention, what's intention? Purpose. Every purpose, everything he thought and wanted to do, the intention of the thoughts of his what? Heart, where he was evil continually. So evil and corruption begin with the mind. How does that work? Well, what have you been thinking about yourself? You know, we've been coming against the spirit of fear and anxiety here. What are the thoughts behind the emotion? One thing you learn in psychology, every emotion has its foundation and grounding in a thought. It is a thought that leads to the emotion. So what is behind your thoughts that bring forth those intentions? What do you think of yourself when you look in the mirror? What about when you fall and make a mistake? Do you beat yourself up by you allowing those negative thoughts from the devil to put you down and make you feel lousy about yourself? Beat you down with guilt and blame and shame? Or do you say, you know what, I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me, I'm covered by your blood. I declare your glory on my life. I exalt you, and as I exalt you, you will lift me up. So I stand in the name of Jesus. I've learned from this, and Lord, I repent, and I ask the Holy Spirit, you guide me that I never do that again. This is how this works, how the kingdom of God comes alive. It's your defense. It's within you. It's your defense of your mind and your heart. For what? When God looked down, every intention, every purpose, everything conceived in the thoughts of his heart went down to now a plan. It's like, let's manifest it. And it was evil continually. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all things. Could it be said more plainly than that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, this is God, search the heart and test the mind. Search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Guess what? God knows my mind, my thoughts, and then what my heart begins to purpose and plan because of those thoughts. But he also is God. He also is the one who changes the heart, who transforms the mind in his word. That's what his word tells us. With this kingdom within me, guess what? I'm a resident of that kingdom because it's within me. Therefore, I have access to everything God has. If you're a resident of Keyport or whatever your town is, you have access to your town library. You have access to your borough hall. Guess what? I have access to God's library of vast wisdom and knowledge. I also have vast access to any training I need from him. Personal training. If I'm a member of a gym, I have access to personal trainers there. So I have access to God's personal training to work in me, to strengthen me, to build me, to move in me in this kingdom. Because I can pull out my kingdom membership card that says saved by the blood, walking in the Holy Spirit. That's the power that's within the kingdom of God within me. Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it manifests, it comes to life. Uses the word good. When they said to Jesus, good teacher, what did he say? Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God. So, the good treasure, that comes out of the good person was placed in there from the goodness of God being inside of me, because his kingdom is within me. My heart is saturated with the kingdom of God. So his good is within me. Therefore, I am able to do good. Therefore, I am able to produce good treasure. Where does that treasure even come from? It comes from God's storehouses. Tell the scripture eludes me the exact reference, but every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus is available to us. Every spiritual blessing in heaven in Christ Jesus is available to us. That's his treasures are available to us. So whatever good treasure I produce, it's because God said, here, give it to him. Think back for those of us who grew up in churches and even doing it today. When we were young, we weren't making money. When we were kids, we might get an allowance. But before that, when we would go to church, Mommy and Daddy would give you the quarter or the dollar to put in the envelope. And you did it because you were producing something good and it felt good. But that good was given to you by someone who loves you, whose kingdom you were part of. They were over you as your parent. So they gave it to you to give it out, to pour it out. As God's kingdom is being poured in me and living in me, I can do the good and pour it out more. Psalm 51:10, and this verse I've been standing a lot on this week, especially as we've heard of people struggling to get their faith back, who are struggling to in just staying strong in the Lord, who are wavering, as we've been praying for specific people during our prayer time. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew that right spirit, God. Create in me a clean heart. Let your goodness of your kingdom, Lord God, be restored. I might have been trying to be ruler of my own kingdom for a while, but Lord, I'm ready to step off my throne and give it all to you. Restore unto me those things, Lord. Renew a right spirit, your spirit. Let your kingdom be restored in my life, Lord God. And let there be no transition time. Let it just happen. I surrender, you take over. That's it. I don't need a month to get my stuff out of the way. You'll come in and blow it out of the way. You'll wash it clean by your blood, and you'll blow it away by your spirit. You will renew my mind, my thoughts, the way I think, which affects my attitude, which affects my behavior. You will renew those things right away in your name and in your power and in your word. Love this verse in Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart. Just like Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Great. God, I'm taking my sick and desperate heart and I'm giving it to you. And here you go. Renew my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit, O God. Give me a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Meaning in this second flesh, a tender heart. A heart to receive, to move, to expand with the kingdom of God within us. A heart that's accepting and submitted before God. That's such a powerfully beautiful picture of the love of God, of the kingdom of God being within me. This is where my heart needs to be, where I need to get my heart to, and I can only do it by humbling myself before him and receiving, seeking as we talk to, finding his kingdom, and entering his kingdom. And as my wife has reminded me several times this week, you know, God doesn't humble us. He creates circumstance that will bring us to our knees, might even humiliate us, but it's a choice I have to have, I make for me, to humble myself. His word says, humble yourself. So I need to approach God. As I've entered his kingdom, I need to allow his reign to rule in his kingdom that's within me. It's available to me. It's at hand. It's right there. I've sought it. I've found it. I've entered it. Now I want to dwell within it. I don't want to be a visitor. I want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Let it be within me, O God. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow springs of life. Guard your heart, in some of the versions, with all vigilance, with everything you got. And everything I got is within God. Because what? It flows from it, springs of life. Where's the well that spring forth those springs of life? It comes from the throne room of God. And I think Maureen, you might have, was it you or Diane this morning shared about the flowing river? God gave you that word. Don't ever forget the vision we had one time, and many of us experienced it here when we took a step of faith, where, you know, God gave me that vision of seeing out of his well in his throne room, the altar of God, pour living waters and come down like a waterfall right here and just flow. And when that Wednesday night service, when we all just in faith stepped in on this carpet, the center aisle, as if we were standing in the river of God, we just all fell to our knees for the next hour. We didn't, there was no preaching, there was no singing, we didn't need it. And many of us literally felt the presence of God touch our shoulders and speak things into our lives. We felt Jesus walking by and touching us. Literally, a physical touch was felt by many. Or a wind blew by. And words were spoken into our hearts' ears. Your heart, keep your heart vigilant and true, for from it flow springs of life. The springs of life that have their origin in Him, His Holy Spirit poured upon us. And that good treasure that we pour out are those springs of life that pours into us and we pour out. Why? Because the kingdom is within us. Any healthy kingdom is able to give and pour out. If you notice, the ones who are healthy in the Lord are not afraid to give. If I want to use financial terms, don't matter what our bills are, don't matter how much we're making, those who understand, who are walking and living with the kingdom of God, are just going to give to God and give to as God leads them, and they're not worried. It's an overflow because why? Jehovah Jireh is their provider. His storehouses are overflowing. He will take care of us. Churches that are being blessed and overflowing are not churches that say, we got to keep our people safe and within our walls and keep them from leaving. You know, you become, you know, the walls that keep you in becomes the cage that chain keeps you stuck. You start becoming overprotective. When the biblical principle of sending out happens, when God's kingdom is within us, when the kingdom is healthy, any healthy church is sending out. Any healthy nation is helping the poor, is doing more, is pouring out. Any healthy Christian is pouring out. Why? Because he's being poured into or she's being poured into, and it's an overflow. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within them. It's an overflow of what God is doing. We share testimonies because we're excited, that joy, and it's an overflow of what God is doing inside of us. We got to have more of these testimonies because God is pouring out. But are we receiving? Are we allowing it to flow through? The kingdom of God is within you. It's within me. He wants to pour everything in. But I need to be at that place to receive it and to let it flow out. He will give me a new heart. He will give me a new spirit. He will pour out in me. He will restore order in my kingdom. Why? Because his kingdom is living within me. He will restore order in my life. He'll restore order in my mind, because I will no longer think the way I did. And if that tries to come, I will be able to replace it with the truth of the kingdom of God that is within me. Not the lie of my own kingdom based on my feelings of the past. But the kingdom of God is within me, and it's alive now. And he's pouring out, and I want it to overflow. We need to let it overflow in such a beautiful way. This is the kingdom of God at work within our lives. This is our heart, where our heart needs to have been touched, and where it needs to be when it comes to the kingdom of God living within us. We're going to stop here, and next week we're going to talk about God's heart, his heart, when it comes to the kingdom of God. Would you bow your heads with me right now and just let the Holy Spirit minister to you for a moment? Oh, Spirit of God, just come right now. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh right now, oh Holy Spirit. Just come. Fall afresh. Renew the heart of flesh. Turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and pour out unto us a new spirit, your spirit, God. Just minister right now, God. Pour right now, Lord. Right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh. Mm.